Hi, I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition. New episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today I'm coming at you with a solo episode that's number two in a series. I released number one last week, the link we put in the show notes. And that one was on the father wound and how our relationship to our father, or a lack thereof, actually impacts us in our relationships today as both men and women, and how that might be different. And also the very subtle ways it shows up, because we know the explicit ways. We call those things like daddy issues, chasing unavailable men, blah, blah, blah. But there's actually very subtle ways that I see it shows up in high-functioning couples, so I explore all of that. This week, we're talking about our relationship to mom. Now look, our relationship to mom is, I would argue, the most important relationship, especially in our early years. Now this doesn't mean, and we just need to add context here, if you are a mother, this doesn't mean that you should be swimming in shame and guilt. It means that we can explore maybe your lack of capacity, maybe you had life circumstances that made you unable to reach your or meet your child's needs. Context, of course, matters. This conversation that I'm about to have is not about bringing the shame train. It's about actually bringing awareness so we can meet our children's needs and heal and repair with them, but also look up and see our relationship with our mother and how it might be impacting us today, and how we mother and how we partner and how we parent as a father too. So this isn't just what I'm talking about is not exclusive to the feminine. And also a lot of the ways that father wounds show up in the way that we relate will overlap with the way mother wounds do. But let's add context as to why these things can be different between a father and a mother. And that's because we're in utero with our mother for 40 weeks, right? Most often, that's sort of the ideal gestational period. So you're born through your mother. Your mother is the portal that brings you into the world. You have a relationship. You are part of her till you're not part of her. And part of the wounding is that we stay part of her for our whole lives, never fully differentiating, never fully individuating, never fully reaching maturity, because in a lot of ways, and this is part of Bethany Webster's work, which is incredible, on the mother wound, and linked to her book and her website and her resources in the show notes. But her work is incredible. As a male, when I read her work, I was like, wow, this woman is brilliant the way that she's explained all of this. So what she points out in her work, amongst so many things, is that the mother often unconsciously holds the daughter back from becoming everything she can be, because it operates under this lie that women have been told that they are less than, right? That if they reach the maturity of woman, that they actually become less than in society. So there's an unconscious protective mechanism by actually trying to keep the daughter small. Now, it's interesting because I think about that and how that might relate to a man, is that the man might not want to become too big or mature into being a man because he doesn't want to become oppressive, patriarchal, controlling. I see this a lot with men, especially, you know, in the rise of feminism, which is, of course, a necessary movement, that there's a fear of actually being in their masculine, of having boundaries. So one of the ways, and you know, at the core of our wounds with our mothers is this feeling of abandonment, this feeling of not having our needs met, not them feeling being fully attuned to us, and us feeling that we were not attuned to, that our needs did not matter. Now, this can happen totally unconsciously. You know, when you become an adult and you have, or you can become age-wise an adult and you're relating, and you have a hard time standing in your needs, you have a hard time standing in your voice, you have a hard time expressing what you truly desire, fearful that you're going to be too much, too emotional, too whatever. And so in that there wasn't a template that was created with our mother, that our needs matter, that we matter, that we have needs that are separate from mother's needs, that we have desires that are separate from, that we have emotions and thoughts and feelings that are separate from our mother's. Now, again, you can insert father in this conversation too. It's just the depth of the wound with a mom can just be so deep, because we spend 40 weeks in their body. And so we are exposed to their environment, which is a result of their environment, right? So we're in their literal environment, the womb, but they are in an environment. Now, what's fascinating is that you're being prepared in the womb for the environment that your mother lives in, which obviously technically you live in too, just not yet on the external. Now, what happens is that let's say a mother is in a war-torn country and she has a lot of high circulating cortisol, a lot of fear, that the baby is actually being prepared to be born in that hypervigilance, fear, all that kind of stuff. So if let's say they move to somewhere like Canada, for example, and they're not in that state of external fear. So you're born in Canada, but you were living in whatever country, then all of a sudden you come out, you've been in high levels of circulating cortisol. Now, cortisol as a hormone is not bad itself. It's chronic cortisol that can be detrimental to our bodies because that state of constant stress, right? The inflammation, the just fear, like you're always in fight, flight, freeze, fawn. There's no resting. There's no exhale. There's no nervous system in the parasympathetic of, And so we're born vigilant. Now we might call that, you know, because in this sort of psychoeducational perspective, it's like a lot of the time the perspective is, okay, let's talk about what happened in your childhood and then how that shows up in your relationships today. But what about the 40 weeks before that? What about your experience in birth, right? All these things are still impacting you. They're definitely still impacting you and they can impact you on a deep level. So just bringing context to that and again, being able to just say like, okay, these are our circumstances that we have to navigate and bring into our awareness. So when you're thinking, I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I walk around in this fear of dying. I don't know why I don't trust myself. I don't know why I have a hard time managing stress or fear. And it can be because we've just not developed the ability to because that wasn't modeled for us. So what's fascinating from a developmental perspective is by the 10th week of pregnancy, a fetus's gender is evident, so they can tell. And by week 14, the sex organs have formed. Now, boys don't start producing sperm till puberty, but girls and female fetuses, they actually fully develop the reproductive system at 20 weeks, and they have 6 to 7 million eggs at that time, maybe more, maybe less. But what's interesting is, if you think about it, the mother has a daughter in utero, and that daughter is forming the eggs by week 20. So if you think about it, there are three generations in one generation at one time. Again, I bring all this context so you can be like, holy moly. Now we might think, okay, well, if that's formed at week 20 and I was in utero and I couldn't do anything about that, but my mom was highly stressed and she lived in this place. And now I feel anxious and now can I do anything? Yes, all of us can do stuff about this. All of us can actually bring healing to our relationships. We can bring healing to ourselves. We can turn genes on and we can turn them off. That's the study of epigenetics, which is fascinating, right? Things like health, things like boundaries, things like self-expression. But ultimately, and we're going to walk through this in the next episode I do of what might this actually look like in practice, but I'm going to talk about it from, you know, how do we move through this, is that we have to parent ourselves. We have to give ourselves the thing that we didn't get because, of course, relationally, what we're doing unconsciously is calling in, drawing in, choosing people who seem to injure us or wound us in the same way that we felt by a parent, unconsciously or consciously. So we're drawn towards people who don't give us the thing we always wanted. Isn't that a mind fuck? Now, at the end of the day, what I'm saying is this, is that the things that come up for you relationally, and if you're watching this or listening to this and you're like, yeah, my mom and I, we got some stuff. And even if you had what you perceive as a really healthy relationship with your mother, maybe there's an opportunity to just explore if you're noticing some challenges in your current relationships or your past ones as to how it might be showing up in very subtle ways then. What I find really interesting about this work is that it requires the trigger to explore it. It requires the relational challenges to be able to heal it. And so when you're navigating things relationally that are hard, it's a different perspective to finally say, hey, I'm going to see these things that I'm going through as a gift, an opportunity for me to actually bring healing to my lineage, to actually step fully into my voice and my power in a way that I never have, but I've actually never witnessed anyone do. In the father wound conversation, it's like, if you had a father that didn't show up, how can you make that change how you show up fully? Instead of constantly seeking for someone to give you the thing you never got, how do you become everything that you desired? And so, you know, Bethany Webster has this great quote that I heard her say where she said, "We need to have a live wire to be rewired." And that's even such a beautiful thing to recognize from a neurological perspective, that the neurons that fire together wire together. So we actually need this live wire to be able to create different neural pathways, but different ways of relating. So some of the explicit ways that our wounds with our mother show up in our relationship are things like that we caretake her feelings. And we're constantly feeling responsible for her feelings, that we want to help rescue her, save her, protect her, give her all the things that she didn't get, maybe from our father, but from the world, that we can see that she's hurting and we want to try to save her from her hurt. And that in doing so, she'll finally become the mother we always wanted and we'll finally get all our needs met in the way that we always desired. Now, the other ways that this can show up is that we get caught in their drama, that, you know, we're their best friends. So they're constantly sharing with us all the things they're going through in their life. And maybe they're oversharing. Maybe if you think about the relationship that you should be having with your mother, that there is this experience that she's actually sharing with you things that maybe violate the boundaries of what that relationship might look like. Now, obviously, that's going to be both subjective and objective, in that there's going to be things that we just know aren't appropriate for a parent to share with a child and vice versa. So it's like that is obviously up to us, but we can feel in our bodies when that might be something that's happening, that we are feeling like there's a boundary that's being violated. A lot of the time, we fail to actually develop trust in ourselves when we don't have an attuned relationship with a parent, especially our mom, in that because there wasn't a full development of a self, because remember, if the baby is expressing a need and the mother is responding to that need, the baby is learning that they have a need, that they themselves are a self that has a need that's separate from mom. They're also learning that their needs are important, that their needs are worthy of being met. They're also learning through their expression that they have their own expressions, that they are, again, a self. And they're learning that their feelings matter and that, you know, as a baby, you can't actually regulate your own nervous system until about the age 3. So the way that you regulate is through your relationship with a parent, but especially with a mother. So if your mother didn't have nervous system regulation, how would you have it? You'd have to learn how to create it as an adult. So this is part of the healing process. Now, as I said, it can show up because we're enmeshed with them. We're taking responsibility for their feelings. We want to help heal them. We're also noticing in our adult relationships that we're doing the same thing with the people around us. We seem to be in relationship with people who have addictions, who have, you know, emotional stuff, narcissistic, all the different things that require us to attend to them. The template from our childhood is the template that we're relating to as an adult. Maybe you're her therapist, maybe you're her emotional caretaker. Maybe you actually feel like she's quite controlling or abusive or manipulative, and you just don't feel like you have a choice in the relationship with her. What I find is fascinating for men is how this can show up, that we can, one, become boundaryless, people pleasers, like trying to save women, trying to save them from bad relationships, trying to make sure that we have a role in a woman's life by, you know, being enough, by constantly being able to solve all the problems and making sure she's not upset, because we're pivoting in the same way that we did with our mothers. But the other thing is the rejection of the feminine, the rejection of women. And that can show up in the sort of like far right male red pill movements, but also the other side, the side of the rejection of the feminine, the rejection of women. And that can show up in the red pill men's movements, where there's so much wounding with women that there's just this, we shouldn't relate them to them in any way, and we should control them, and we should go back to these patriarchal structures because we weren't vulnerable when that was happening. So there's this like, either we go too small and we play small and we become people pleasers, or we become overtly controlling. And maybe that might show up as promiscuity, as controlling, as manipulation, as abuse, or the exploitation of power, the exploitation through money, of leveraging power dynamics, and just walling up, not trusting women, not allowing them close. And if we do allow them close, once they get close, we just don't trust the feminine with our heart because we couldn't trust our mom with our heart. And so then we run. We desperately want and desire connection, but we fear it at the same time. Now, this can show up too, no matter male or female. We can be choosing partners who we'll just never be vulnerable to. And I've heard people say something like, oh, I always knew that they'd love me more than I love them. You hear the safety in that. And not that we shouldn't be safe, but I just mean that there's no emotional risk. There's a controlling of the depth of intimacy and the potential for wounding and pain. And this is this idea that what you desperately want most in life lives, love, connection, reliability, certainty, safety, sexuality, all those things. Where love lives is also where unresolved pain lives. And the unresolved pain will always block your capacity and ability to get more towards love. And so part of the healing, which I'll cover in the next episode, is about actually taking where that pain is and actually learning how to extract the most amount of wisdom and skill sets so we can walk towards love and towards that pain at the same time, because they're friends, and actually trust ourselves to move past it. Part of the healing of this wound, and I'd say the beginning of it, is one, recognizing the pattern, and two, is saying, I'm no longer going to stand for this. I need to resolve and heal the things that are showing up that I've not dealt with my mom, so that I can bring relationship into my life, so I can show up as the best possible parent, as the best possible partner, so I can heal the things I may have already passed to my child. Now, I think this is the most important work. And I think if you have children, what a motivator that is. There's a saying that we have a hard time meeting the needs of our children when we didn't get those needs met at the same time in their lives. So if we can't meet some sort of need they have at 4, we probably didn't have that need met ourselves. And so we have to reach deep within and stretch and actually find the emotional capacity and the courage to heal these things that have been unhealed that might be 3, 4, 5, 10 generations up. And what a gift it is that we have the opportunity to actually do that healing today. I mean, that's huge. One thing that Bethany Webster said that I really loved is this idea that we have to live our true selves no matter the cost. And I think that's true of every area of our lives. We have to be willing to live as the highest expression of ourselves in integrity with ourselves, clean up our relationships, clean up our side of the street, clean up our behaviors at whatever the cost. Because if we don't, and we have the awareness that we need to, the cost will be physiological. It will be a cost to our own mental health, our psyche, to our bodies. And we all know this to be true. We can feel it in our bodies when we've not healed stuff. When we know that we have healing sitting on the table, and we know it's blocking our relationships. Like, if you know you've hit upper limits in one, the partners you're choosing, that you're picking the same types of partners, two, your vulnerability, your self-expression, your communication, and also the upper limits with your children, the connection you have with your children. It's like, we have to resolve this stuff. Now, look, I will say this with absolute certainty after working with thousands of people, is like, healing mom stuff is the hardest. And it doesn't have to start with healing with mom. And that might not even be available to you. And letting that go might actually be part of your healing. But actually, the healing just begins with recognizing that you matter, that your feelings matter, that your needs matter, that they're worthy of being met, that you're worthy of being met, that you're worthy of being loved, held, and that you are worthy of safety, of understanding, of connection. You might not have got those things, but spending your life trying to pursue them through people who are likely not able to give them to you is still a distraction anyways from giving them to yourself first, from actually parenting yourself, from actually nurturing yourself. And this is that deep exploration, which you're doing, of course, by watching this or listening to this, that deep exploration of self that says, I matter, and my healing matters, and what I desire in my life matters, and I'm not going to wait for anyone to bring it to me. I'm going to create it, hence create the love. So to not miss the part where we walk through the threshold from this pain to transformation, from being stuck in adolescence, childhood, to being an adult, the maturation process we're going to cover in the next episode, make sure you hit subscribe so that you don't miss it. And make sure you hit the like button, help jolt this up, give it some love. I appreciate you. Thanks so much for having these conversations with me and trusting me with them. Have a beautiful day. See you next week.
Hey. In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.